Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers.
Hello and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week we are continuing to read Lord of the Inferno. Last week we read, Adar held a finger to his mouth. Bark stopped, confused by Adar's actions. Adar pointed to his ears and comprehension crossed Bark's face. The man wasn't stupid, he just had other things on his mind. Lucky for him, the noise from the fire would cover up everything else unless a Hunway were close by. With a reproving glance towards Bark, Adar leaned out of the doorway and looked out of the ship. The ship's door was still down, and the whole vehicle was becoming engulfed in the flames of the burning buildings. Hunway still surrounded the ship. By the gods, Bark cried. Cursing, Adar turned to chastise the man until he noticed smoke drifting into the room through the open door that led to the kitchen. And now, Chapter 16. Nine bloody burning fires, Adar thought as he watched the smoke spread into the room. Hunway outside and a fire inside. All I need now is for Terra to show up as well. Why not Isaac and Arrow too, so I can fight everybody at once? With his luck, Kira would show up in the middle of it all, demanding to know what was taking him so long. Sweat trickled down Adar's neck and onto his back as he walked over to the kitchen. When he walked in, he was relieved to see it wasn't on fire, though the ceiling was covered with smoke. On the left side of the room was a window that looked out into the alley, but there was too much smoke outside to see through it. A wood-burning oven under the window had three loaves of fresh-baked bread resting on the top that were still in the pans. Various pots hung from hooks on the ceiling, and a large wooden bowl that had been covered with a towel had formed into a dome shape. He immediately went to another partially ajar door directly across from the one that he'd just used to enter the kitchen. Smoke came over the top and surrounded the sides. Adar covered the distance in three steps and swung it open. Billows of smoke and a wave of heat assaulted him, so he went to his knees and crawled forward into the room. It was bathed in a reddish-orange flickering glow that came from the fires outside the building. The smoke came through a small broken window and an open door that was tossed by the firestorm outside. The shattered pane of glass was a twin of another several feet over from the first. This window was still intact. As his eyes adjusted to the garish light, he looked around the room, surprised there didn't appear to be any signs of fire in here. The building still held for now. Shelves lined the walls of the room, and one right by the door had a variety of baked goods, most of which had been pushed to the floor by the wind. To one side was a bar with a cake on the counter. His stomach growled when he saw it, but the force of the smoke made him smell and taste ash, so he put it out of his mind. No doubt it's all ruined by now, he thought, anyways. He snorted, ignoring the rumble in his stomach. I don't have time to eat anyhow. A drink of water? Now that I would not pass up. Some of the barrels stood in the middle on the other side of the room. Wheat and beans, if he guessed correctly. Adar had thought the building wasn't on fire at first, but when he scrambled to the door with the blasters on his back, clattering with his sword, he peeked out and realized the wooden porch outside was burning. The heat coming through the doorway kept him from getting more than a cursory look. A part of him had hoped that there still might be a path to the arches, but that was dashed as he saw nothing but fire and smoke blocking his way. He suppressed a growl when he thought of Terra sitting safely on the other side. He continued to crawl on all fours to the unbroken window and, after taking a deep breath of the smoking air, stood until he could see out. The smoke obscured his ability to see, and just as he was about to go back down to the floor for another gulp of air, a gust of wind that slammed the open door against the wall also cleared the area. He observed that another large group of Hunway had just emerged from the ship. They moved as though the heat from the fire did not bother them. Those invisible shields that protected them from his sword must also keep them from feeling the heat. He wished for the tablet so he could use the tower to destroy them. One of the Hunway approached the burning building to the right of the ship and stood in the actual flames. When Adar realized his finger was fondling the trigger of his blaster, he moved it away. There were too many for him to do anything other than draw their attention and die. All he saw was fire and smoke everywhere he looked. He did not see a building on the other street that was not on fire. As he watched, the building to the left of the ship came down, bringing with it one on the other side. Sparks and burning timber flew everywhere. The Hunway that had been standing in the flames was buried under a pile of burning rubble. The satisfied smile on Adar's face was wiped away as the Hunway easily dug himself out of the burning heap. Another building fell, but this time none of the falling timbers landed on any of the Hunway. Adar clenched his teeth. Maybe the gods have decided it would be easier to bring the Nine Hells here instead of sending us there. He did a quick count of the enemy and was at 52 when the Hunway moved, heading into the alley that ran right past Adar's position. After that, he had to go back down for air. The first batch of Hunway to leave the ship had about that many as well. The sounds of his gasps as he pulled what air was left in the room into his chest were lost in the chaos coming from outside. Crawling, he approached the open door from an angle so that he was not facing the heat. He pulled up his blaster and considered taking out a couple of stragglers, but once again, he discarded the idea. He was glad that his mind had caught up to what he was doing on instinct. With the fire and flames outside the door here, and the Hunway using the alley outside the other door, shooting at them now would be the same as suicide. He knew this, but somehow the heat was getting to his head and he had almost forgotten. He had been hoping there would only be a handful of Hunway and that he'd be able to take them out one by one as they approached the ships at the town square, but now he realized that was going to be impossible. By the gods, he thought. Getting to the ships before them is impossible. Killing them isn't even an option. The longer I stay here, the better my chances are of burning to a crisp. To punctuate the thought, he was forced into a coughing fit. When he was done, he realized that his mouth was dry, his tongue was sore, and it seemed as if half the ash in his room was coating his throat. Kira. Her name popped into his mind, and he bolted upright from where he'd curled up on the floor while he'd been trying to clear his lungs. He should have sent her away. Instead, he had filled her heart with hope that he'd find a way out of this Melia-forsaken place. Before the ship had been buried in the rubble of the flaming buildings, a break in the smoke showed him that it had indeed gone directly into the alley. Not only could he not get into the arches, he doubted that access point would ever work again. He wished the Oakwee had not disappeared so quickly. They would sure come in handy now. He looked up as a thought occurred to him. He stood and touched the ceiling, stretching to cover the last several inches. The wood of the floor above was hot. With a final look out the front door, which was once again blocked by smoke, he ran out of the room, slamming the door shut behind him. The kitchen was filled with more smoke than before, but by the time he got back to the living quarters of the room, there was comparatively less of the stuff. He felt safe to stand, albeit in a small crouch. Bark had moved and was watching through a crack in the door, his face pale and white. He did not notice as Adar crossed the room. Adar ran to the stairs and went up, sparing a glance for the boot print in Jorad's blood. A flash of anger at what Bark had done to his son rushed through him, but he pushed it away. When he arrived on the second floor, he wasn't able to do more than just poke his head up. Flames climbed the walls. There were holes in the ceiling. In one place, he was able to see the haze-filled sky as part of the roof had burned up as well. It hadn't just been his imagination that the wood was hot. He didn't know how long they had, but he didn't want to find out either. Back downstairs, he shouldered Bark away from the door so he could determine what to do next. He didn't have time for an explanation and didn't even bother to mutter an apology. Anything he said would have been drowned out by the roar of the fire that now surrounded them on every hand. Through the crack, he could see the Hunway as they marched by. Several looked towards the partially open door, but none of them made a move towards it. When it appeared that the last one had passed by, he waited for several more heartbeats. A crashing sound came from the front of the building. Bark ran to the kitchen and came back. "It's all a fire in there," he said. At least that is what Adar thought he said, based on the formation of his lips. Adar nodded and looked up at the top of the stairs. Flames were visible now, and black marks were starting to form on the ceiling. They didn't have long. He counted several more seconds, opened the door further, and stuck out his head. He couldn't see more than several feet ahead in either direction. He waited, hoping for a break in the smoke, but none came. They needed to run. After several more seconds had passed with his heart pounding in his chest, he swore and ducked back in. "Confound it," he said, shutting the door back down to a crack. Bark looked at him, but Adar didn't waste any words. The black marks on the ceiling above them had spread. Before much longer, half the wood would be blackened. "We're going to have to risk it," he said. The only thing to do was go out the way the Hunway had gone and hope for the best. Shaking his head, Adar flung the door open and stepped blindly into the alley, hoping the Hunway weren't about to step out of the smoke. "If they do, I'll get the drop on them since I know they're here," he thought, as he brought up his blaster. He looked in the direction of the ship. The force of the smoke and heat made it impossible to face that way for long. His eyes stung and he coughed. Visibility wasn't much better when he looked the other way. With a beckoning motion to Bark, he stepped forward, hoping that the Hunway hadn't stopped just ahead of them. He gripped his blaster and placed his finger on the trigger, thinking of the two men he'd killed earlier with one shot. If he were able to catch the Hunway off guard, he might be able to take down half a dozen, assuming they were grouped together. The only problem was that they were similarly armed and could shoot back. When he had gone a couple of steps, he looked back at the door but wasn't able to see it. Bark was right behind him, shaking with fear, his one hand on the hilt of his sword and the other on his dagger. If the man hadn't confessed to stabbing Jorad, Adar would have immediately armed the man with a blaster. Adar gave Bark what he hoped was an encouraging nod, but Bark did not respond. When Adar looked back in the direction they were moving, a gust of wind cleared out the smoke. The Hunway were already out of the alley. In the distance ahead, he could see some of their backs. The shift also showed him that the top of the building they had just come from was covered in flame. Adar increased his speed and motioned for Bark to move along. After hesitating, Bark did as well. As Adar crept down the alley, moving as fast as he dared, he crouched as best he could, hoping the air quality would be a little bit better, even though he couldn't see an appreciable difference. If it was, it wasn't by much. His chest hurt with every breath, and his throat had become dry and scratchy. The heat from the fire was becoming unbearable. The building across from the one that they'd been in was now also on fire. It had gone up quick. There hadn't appeared to be any flame on it when the smoke had cleared earlier. But now there didn't seem to be a place that didn't have fire licking at the roof of the building. Adar increased his speed, counting on the fact that the alley was filling with smoke again to keep the Hunway from noticing them. They were almost at the end when Adar looked back and saw a small group of Hunway coming from the direction of the ship. A swirl of wind came and the smoke hid them from view. When it cleared, the Hunway were running their way at a quick gait. Adar pushed Bark up against the wall and brought up his blaster, ignoring the startled look on Bark's face. He waited for several long seconds to make sure there were only three. Any more than that and he would not have opened fire. With his left hand, he made sure to press the button on the front of the weapon. He put the finger of his other hand on the trigger, took aim, and fired three shots in rapid succession. The first two blasts hit their targets in the chest. There was a flash around them as the blasts hit. Adar had not noticed anything like that before and wondered if it had something to do with the way the smoke surrounded the Hunway. The third blast took the Hunway in the shoulder, knocking it back. Adar fired another shot, but the Hunway rolled out of the way. The blast buried itself deep into the ash-covered mud of the alley. The Hunway rolled to his feet and aimed his blaster their way as flame and smoke engulfed them. Adar pulled the trigger of his own weapon, but nothing happened. Cursing, he threw away his defunct blaster with one hand and pushed Bark with the other as he stepped away from the wall. A blast hit the wall where Adar had just been. "Run," Adar said as he grabbed another blaster off his back. "For the love of the gods, run." He didn't wait to see what Bark would do as he dashed forward, trusting the smoke to keep him hid. It had just engulfed the alley again. Flames danced all around him. He fired the blaster in the direction he had last seen the Hunway. On the third shot, it stopped working, and he tossed it aside as well while pulling the last blaster off of his back. "Bleeding Melia," he thought. "What kind of fool am I? Any sane man would be running the other way." He caught a glimpse of the Hunway aiming another shot at him and dove, hoping that Bark had made it out of the alley in time. Adar landed with an oomph, mud squishing between his fingers. He wasn't certain what had made him charge the Hunway, but as he got up to his feet and continued to run, he hoped that it had been the right decision. The heat was becoming intolerable. He had been covered with sweat when he had begun this mad charge, but his skin now felt dry. He gritted his teeth and moved forward. "If that Hunway escapes," he thought, "he'll tell the others about a man that knows how to use a blaster. They'll turn Zekerani upside down looking for me." There hadn't been another blast yet, and the smoke ahead was as thick as ever. He aimed the blaster again and fired where he imagined the Hunway would be. He was able to get one shot before it too failed. "Confound it," he thought. "All this time I've been carrying around blasters with just a couple of shots left." Cursing again, he slowed and removed the black-tipped Oakwe dagger, dropping his last blaster as he did. He had come too far to turn back now. He hadn't thought of the dagger as a viable weapon until Jorad had managed to take out one of the monsters. The memory of his son, standing over a dead Hunway, brought a smile to his face. It hadn't just been luck that had resulted in his son's conquest. It had been a desire and a will to not give up, even in the face of ridiculous odds. Jorad had said afterward he hadn't even realized what weapon he'd been using until the blood of the Hunway had covered it. Now, with his own Oakwe blackened dagger in hand, Adar was glad they were capable of penetrating the Hunway's invisible protection. A cracking sound came from the side, and Adar felt something rush towards him from above. He sprinted forward as a heavy beam from a building crashed, sending sparks up into the hazy air. He grimaced when he saw how close he had come to a fiery death. He had been making too many reckless decisions over the course of the last several hours and found the realization unnerving. Sometimes a situation called for that kind of behavior, but more often than not, deliberate thought yielded the better course of action. Odds are against me pushing my luck much further, he thought. I've stretched it to the limit as it is. His confrontation with Terror still bothered him and kept him on edge. The last thing he wanted to do now was to make a mistake that kept him from catching up to Terror. Not when he was so close to avenging Nellian's death. I should have run the other way, Adar thought. I could have escaped. After the loss they just suffered, they're going to be more anxious to get back to their working ships so they can leave. Regardless, the Hunway knew Adar was coming for them and had seen Adar kill the other two. He may not have seen that Adar had thrown down his last blasters once they had stopped working. Adar frowned. He should have kept it to bluff the Hunway, not that it mattered much with all the smoke. He inched forward through the billowing toxic clouds as the heat became more unbearable and his chest felt like it was about to burst from want of air. When he thought he was going to have to turn around or risk burning to death, a movement came from the side. The Hunway burst through a burning wall. Adar jumped away, but he was too late. The Hunway grabbed him by the arm and dragged him to the ground. Has the Hunway's blaster stopped working as well? Adar wondered as he scrambled to his feet, surprised the monster hadn't just put a hole in his back and called it a day. The eyes behind the faceplate were contracted, and Adar thought he could hear the beast howling, but the unquenchable roar of the flames overpowered any sound the beast might have been making. The Hunway got to his feet and swung with his hand, intending to take Adar in the head. Adar dodged the blow and moved closer until they were touching. A look of surprise crossed the Hunway's face just before he grabbed Adar, crushing Adar against the armor of his chest. The Hunway's armor felt cool on Adar's skin, and in the back of his mind he wondered why that was, but he did not dwell on it. He brought up his dagger, used it to flip up the faceplate, and then stuck it in the Hunway's eye. The Hunway loosened his grip as he feebly grabbed for Adar's hand. Adar had already yanked out the dagger and rammed it in again, this time burying it up past the hilt and the other eye. The Hunway lost the ability to control his arms and went limp. Adar pulled out his dagger and stepped back. He was certain he had just dealt it an unrecoverable blow. Let's see the metal goo heal that, he thought. The Hunway stood, balanced for several of Adar's heartbeats before it crashed backward into the burning building. Sparks and burning wood flew up as the body sunk into the flames. Adar turned and ran, wishing that he had time to find the blasters of the other dead.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.